filing out. Just kind of going in chronological order tonight, let's go into 1 Corinthians. Can you clean my glasses, honey? Sorry. Thought there was a fog in the room tonight. My glass, I can't see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and two things I want to establish tonight. And I know that we may be asking, well, Pastor, why are we dwelling on the better things? You know, these are things, Pastor, that, you know, we already know. We already know that what Jesus did. We know the sacrifices that Jesus made. But this is really preparatory to something that I believe that God is speaking to me about. A couple of really important things, and that is, number one, is that I think that God wants us to have the foundation. And sometimes, how many knows that we need to be reminded of those things that are the founding truths in our life? Without those founding truths in our life, what really happens is that we can develop. If the foundation is not right, the foundation is not right. How many knows the building is going to crack? Yeah. Amen. And the last thing you want to do is spend thousands of dollars on a new house, and then after you get it built, you start seeing the walls crack. Not a good thing, right? Not a good thing. And the thing of it is that the foundation is not always, you know, it's not always the prettiest thing to watch, and it's not the most exciting thing to watch when it's being laid. Okay, we got a new house going up by us near our house, and it's going to be a nice house. I know it is, just by the size of the foundation, and it's not really attractive. I mean, them cleaning off the field and all the dirt, and then the blocks, the cement blocks that are going in, it's not really that exciting. You know, it's pretty cool when the big equipment was in there and they were tearing up the trees and they were, you know, sawing up the trees. That's pretty cool. But, you know, I mean, when you watch, I mean, I see it as something beautiful when you see somebody laying block, because it's a real art, it's a real skill. But it's not one of the most, I mean, after a while it's like, okay. So after about the, you know, thousandth block, you're like, okay, I got it. Okay, this is hard work. And digging it correctly. I know somebody who built a church. In fact, a church, one of the first churches that we built that we were a part of in Fremont. When they dug the foundation, and there in Ohio, it's very common that there's a lot of rock there. That's why you have so much limestone. And some of the biggest limestone companies in the world are in Ohio, up there by the lake. And so there's a lot of rock. So when you dig down, you get into a lot of rock and clay. How many knows if you get rock, you get clay too? And so they dug the foundation, and it was solid rock when they got down. Thank you, honey. It was solid rock underneath, and so what happened was the pastor that was in charge at that time, who was my pastor and mentor at the time, he was in a hurry. And so what he did is he took the foundation was laid, and what he did was that he took the drainage pipe and laid it on top of the rock. See, even you know, and you're not builders, not all of you. And so he thought, well, because, you know, we'll put the block higher, that the water will do it. But what he didn't realize is because he didn't put it low enough. And he didn't put it underneath. See, the drainage pipe couldn't go above the block. And so when it rained, what happened was that it would only take care of part of it, because it wasn't taking care of all the water that was going down in. And so guess where the water was going? It was coming into the church. And it wasn't until later that they realized that, what did they have to do? They had to go back out all around there, and they had to jackhammer that rock, and they had to put it in its proper place to put that foundation down. And then what it began to do is it began to weaken the building, because water began to get in. And I'm saying is that the foundation is not always pretty. And sometimes we think, well, you know, the foundation is set, but the truth of it is that we have to re-examine and we have to, you know, re-establish sometimes the foundation is there. And you say, well, why, Pastor? And that's what the author here is doing in Hebrews. He's doing that in Hebrews because he's going back and he's reminding them, hey, you're falling away from something here. How many knows you can be right in church, you can be in leadership, and you can be backsliding. Is the mic working all the way back there? Okay, just one. Sam, can you hear me back there? Okay, just one. Amen. I mean, you can be doing it. Hey, I got a clue for you. Just because the guy standing up in the pulpit, if he is not reestablishing himself in the Spirit and he doesn't have time in the Word and he is not dealing with his mind and renewing his mind and he's not renewing his spirit, he could be standing in that pulpit and you not even know it. And he could be backslidden. He could be cold in his nature. I mean, here's what I'm saying to you. You know, it's not the messages being preached because no matter who you are, you have to make sure that your foundation is there, but you have to sometimes remind yourself, hey, this is what this is all about. It's not about all the flash and the excitement and all the other things. It's about one thing. It's about why Jesus did what he did. And sometimes what we're doing is that we are surfing. Everybody say that word, surfing. How many surf your TV? How many expert surfers do we have here? Come on, raise your hands. Every guy in this place should have your hand raised. I mean, come on. I mean, my thumb developed carpal tunnel. Amen. Especially on Sundays when football season's here. You know what I'm saying? You know? How many hears what I'm saying? I mean, the thing of it is that, you know, and I tell my wife all the time, and of course it's horror and kids. I mean, we got every channel that's possible. Why is it you can never find a good movie? Yeah. You got hundreds of channels and you can't find any movie. Oh, I don't want to hear that. Nope, don't want to see that. You know, you can't, and it's difficult to find something good. And at the same time, so we're surfing. Well, what you have is you have a lot of people who have become Bible surfers. See, Bible surfers, in the fact that what happens is that we catch a wave of something and we ride it till it's finished, or a church or a doctrine or some fad that comes into the church. And so when we ride it out, wow, everybody's talking about the end times. They're talking about the blood moons and Jesus could be coming. This could be the month. And so everybody's riding that wave. Well, man, it's great if Jesus comes, but I doubt it's going to be in September. Why, Pastor? Because everybody's saying it is. Because everybody's saying it is. He's not going to come when everybody's saying it. Okay, they want me to come now. I'm coming. Like he's up in heaven, like for her, you know, I'm trying to get dressed and how does my tie look, you know, and running out to meet the bridegroom. Come on, seriously. He's not going to come when everybody's saying he's going to come. He's going to come because he has an appointed time. He has a fulfillment. He's not pressed by our emotions. Woo! He's not pressed by our little pet doctrines. He's not even pressed because your television program depends on listeners. He's not coming because you wrote the book and you want something to confirm the book. He's coming because the bride is going to be what he said the bride would be. It would be spotless. It would be without blemish. It would be without wrinkle. Amen? And so God is saying to us, look, God's not on our schedule. How many men know that when you got married? You don't have a schedule no more. Amen? That's why I invested in a second car. Amen? Man, when I had my leg broke, whew. Man, I mean, I love Pastor. I'm going to stop talking. I love her, but sometimes she's on Karen time. She's not on the Eastern Standard Time, or even the Pacific Coastal Time. Or you know it's true. Come on. Come on, don't leave me hanging out here. Like, sit over in that little suite, you know. You know it's true. And so, how many knows is that, he's not on our schedule. He's not on your time plan. You know, draw out all the maps you want, all the illustrations, cite all the things you want to cite. Okay? Well, Pastor, it all lines up. Okay, it all lines up, but I'm just telling you. That's not, he said, look, you guys are good at discerning the signs that are in the sky. But he said, you can't even discern the spiritual state that you're in. And until the church really becomes the church, and God uses it, if it becomes, if anything, if it creates a great awakening, which our country desperately needs, because our country and this country has become massive covenant breakers. And God is not going to set aside and let that just slide. You break a covenant with God, you're going to pay the consequences to it. Amen? And so that in itself is wonderful, guys. But what we need to be about is what until Jesus comes. What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your testimony? What are you doing with what God has put in your hands? What is it that God has placed in your hands to do? Because when we stand before God, and He's not going to ask you how many books you wrote or how many sermons you preached. He's not going to ask you how many hours you worked. He's not going to ask you how much money you made. He's going to say, what did you do with Jesus? What did you do with the gifts that I placed in your hands? What did you do with that spiritual tool bag, that shepherd's bag that I gave you? What happened? We were all saying amen a minute ago. I took a shower this morning. Come on. Seriously, guys? Come on. I mean, that's what I'm saying to you. See, we have to come to the knowledge of knowing. And that's what we need to come is to that full understanding that Jesus has a purpose and a plan. But Pastor, you don't understand. I was abused. I was hurt. I was this. I was that. This has happened. That's happened. This happened. I agree. But you're not 3 years old. You're not 6 years old. You're not 7 years old. You're not 8 years old. You're an adult. And I want you to know something. As bad as those things happen to you, and as wrong as those things happen to all of us, not just you. Just because I don't talk about the things in my life all the time, I'm just saying it's not just about you or me. We have to take responsibility and know there's a certain point we have the power to choose. No, Pastor, because of what I am, that's what the world... See, that's what psychology teaches. See, psychology teaches us that we have no choice. That's just the way we've been wired. Well, I want you to know something. If I know anything about wiring a house, if it's been wired, it can be unwired. I said, if it's been wired, it can be unwired. And no matter how you've been wired, it can be unwired by the Holy Spirit and by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, you have to come to the place to where you neither take responsibility for everybody else, and you have to take responsibility for you. Because how many knows? Only we have the power of our own choice. Amen? We do. Not my message, but it sounds really good. In 1 Corinthians, two things I want to establish tonight. I want to establish that we have a new covenant. See, that's something else too that I want to say to you straight up. Well, let's go to the Word. Get ahead of myself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23, for I have received of the Lord, if you're there, say amen. He said, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my what?
Body.
My body. So, was the bread his body?
Yes.
No, it was a type of his body. Okay, it wasn't his body. We're not Catholics, okay? The bread doesn't turn to his body as Catholicism teaches. It doesn't turn to his body. It's a representation of his body. Amen? Everybody hear me?
He said, "This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, he's saying, the cup is what? The New Testament, or the New Covenant, in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord's unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So you say, well, Pastor, we don't do communion all the time. Well, the reason why I don't do communion all the time is because I want us to come into unity about what communion is. I want us to know that when we take communion, we understand what we are taking. Not because it's just a religious act on your part, or because it makes you feel good mentally that you did something right. Communion should be taken in remembrance that his body was broken for me. We need to understand that the New Testament, when we came into the New Covenant, he's talking about a New Covenant versus an Old Covenant that was there. And we're going to get into that in Hebrews, hopefully, tonight, if I have enough time. And so here, he's talking about a New Covenant. He said, if there's a New Covenant, there was a what? An Old Covenant. Here's something else you need to understand is this. Is a lot of things that people are interpreting, they want to carry over. They want to carry over from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. It's not a carryover. It's not a carryover. Everything in the Old Testament is not necessarily a carryover to us. That's why I contend some eschatology that is being taught today is not talking to us as the Gentiles. What we're talking about is that some of the things that God's talking about there, he's talking to national Israel. He's talking to the nation of Israel. And God's old covenant that he had with Israel, he says, look, that's been disannulled. And he said, there's a new covenant that I'm going to do and I'm going to make with Israel. But it's not going to be the old covenant. That means that whatever that was, it was done away with. With that old covenant, so were everything else. The priesthood, the sacrifices, the holy days, all of those things don't have the same significance. It's fine if you want to celebrate Rosh Hashanah, if you want to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, if you want to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But what I want you to understand is there's no, God's not looking and saying, yay. What he's saying is this, everything has been fulfilled through the body of Jesus. Everything has been fulfilled through him. There is no holy day that is above him. There is no sacrifice, even no matter how many that you make. See, doesn't make any difference how many you make. In fact, if we realize tonight is that he teaches in Hebrews there 8 through 10, he talks about that when they make those sacrifices, what it does, it just reminds them of the sins that are there instead of the forgiveness that is there. Because those old sacrifices, they would make them, but they wouldn't purge your conscience. I mean, think about how frustrating it is. You do all that work, but you get no bang for your buck. Amen? No wonder some people are discouraged with church. Amen? No wonder, man, people are leaving the church. The reason why is because they have been filled a bill of goods that if they do this and this and this, this will happen. And I am saying to you is that there's only one person who makes it happen in the body of Christ, and that's Jesus Christ. And I want you to know you're forgiven if you've received Christ into your life and you have confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that God hath raised Christ from the dead. He said, thou shalt be saved. And the rest is between you and the Holy Spirit, not between me and you. Amen. Because I'm not the sin police. See, that just messed somebody up. I thought that's what the pastor's supposed to do. What is your job, brother? Aren't you supposed to be preaching about sin and us committing sin? No, I think you all know how to do it. I think we all know how to sin. I don't think I need to talk about sin. I think you even know. Here's the other kicker. I think you know when you do sin. But if you do sin, if you do sin, I said, if you do sin, if you do, he said, you have an advocate with the Father.
That's a get out of jail card free, kind of. But I want you to understand is this, God's not advocating sin. God is saying, look, where we need to come to is, look, I provided for you. And let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and 15. See, you guys do this to me all the time. See, I want to be, you know, organized, but you guys drag it out of me. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. So how many knows we have a new covenant with God? Okay? We have a new covenant with God through His blood. Amen? That was shed. But look at here, verse 15. He said, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities. Because how many knows the Old Testament, the Levites, had no ability to feel anything for what anybody was going through. All they were doing, they were too busy. See? There was no counseling going on. There was nobody when they were bringing a sacrifice. There was nobody going, oh, hey, I know, man. You know, they bring a big bull ox up there. It's like, oh, man, what did you do? The priest sitting there gossiping. Well, you know, look at the size of that. They must have really. Are you hearing me? There was nobody empathizing. There was nobody counseling. Man, they were too busy slicing and dicing. They were too busy barbecuing. They were too busy going to the brazen laver. And they were too busy cleansing it with water. They were too busy with all the duties of a priest. And what we need to understand is this. They were too busy doing those things. But look, in all the work that was done, they dropped the animal off. The sacrifice was made. Nobody got a ticket. Nobody got anything punched. You brought it. You done it. You had at least until the next sacrifice or until the next time you sinned, unless you broke one of the laws. And so that was the only grace that they had was there. But the problem was that no matter how many sacrifices, no matter how many things they did, their conscience was not purged. And I'm telling you today is this, the greatest thing that we need to come into by faith is that your conscience is purged by the new covenant and by the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. When you come into that revelation that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, God will begin by His Holy Ghost to begin to rewire your brain and through the Word of God begin to renew. This is what is the agent by which, as much as the electrician has clippers and screwdrivers, this is the tool of the Holy Ghost to rewire your brain. He said, by the renewing of your mind, is it transformed by the Word of God. You're not going to renew your mind by looking at all the junk on television, listening to all the junk at work, entertaining all those things. Your mind, where your mind goes, is where you go. Where your mind goes, where your mind is, what you put inside your mind. See, you can play the game. We can play the game. We know how to play the game. We can go through all the motions of playing the game. But the only thing that's going to change our life is the Word of God. You see that? And listen, and I want you to understand too, it's not just the Word of God, it's being able to rightly divide the Word of God. It's being able to understand and interpret the Word of God. Because you got people, man, who are interpreting it this way and seeing it that way. But what we need to do is we need to come in and understand that we have a high priest that is taking, and look what he says here, verse 15. He said, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Because if he had sin, he wouldn't be able to set us free. Our conscience couldn't be purged. But the beauty of this is this, is that he understands what you're going through. See, that's why I'm saying to you tonight is this. You should rejoice. See, you can't say. See, that's, what were we singing tonight? What was the chorus? Last song that we sang. We are what? That's a powerful song. Why, Pastor? Because that is the point, guys. The point is you are not alone. We are not alone. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's the beauty of it. Is that when you bring Christ in your life, the only reason that you're alone is that you're freezing out Jesus. It's hand to the face. Don't want to talk about it. Hello? You know, look, you can't tell me. I know that how me and Karen relate, and it's on a lot lower level. We're trying to raise that level to a place to where that we have. But when there's something wrong with her, when there's something wrong with her, Mary, I don't look like, well, hey, tough. That's not the role of a husband. The role of a husband is to investigate. The role of the husband is to look into. Well, what's wrong? She'll tell you. She'll tell you. If she varies one way, and she can do the same thing with me, she varies one way to the left or right, I'm saying, what's wrong? Nothing. No. No, I'm not going to go through a whole day of nothing. No. Something's wrong. And she'll look at me. It's a little tougher with me than it is with her. But she'll look at me and say, hey, you know what? You're going down the wrong road. What is wrong here? What's going on? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? So you think that Jesus, who lives on the inside of you, isn't coming to you and saying, what's up? What's going on? Well, I never hear him talk. Baloney. Baloney. And I'm being polite. Baloney. Go tell somebody else that story. I have nobody to talk to. Baloney. The reason why you don't have nobody to talk to may be because they're not saying what you want them to hear. Right? Because it's easy to tell. When Karen's nailing me, like, you don't. Whatever. You don't. You're so far off. You know, and on the inside, you're going like, oh, she nailed it. Now I've got to say I'm sorry. See, it's not that Jesus isn't talking to you. It's not the Holy Spirit's not talking to you. It's not that He's not speaking to you. It's not that He's not trying to comfort you. But you know as well as I do. You know as well as I do, sitting here speaking to you, knowing who I am, you know there are times that you get in a mood and nobody can comfort you. You are Mr. and Mrs. Attitude. You got it so hard and so bad that nobody can talk to you. I mean, God Himself could come down in your living room and you'd be like, hush. But see, you say, oh, I never talked to God that way. Yeah, you do. You do all the time when He's trying to approach you and He's trying to speak to you and He's trying to deal with you and He's trying to prevent junk in your life, but yet you just, no, I'm not. He's talking to us all the time. He's speaking to us all the time. He's trying to get through. But you see, the thing of it is that what's happened sometimes is our mind gets so seared, it gets so hard, it gets so miswired, you can't get a good connection. That's why you shorten out sometimes. How many's ever short out? You know, sparks flying all over the place, lights blinking. Huh? And the only way you're going to get rewired is you've got to go back in the Word of God and you've got to let God rewire your mind and your life. Look, it's not always everybody else's problem. Sometimes God, look, we wonder, why is it that all of a sudden I've woke up, Pastor? Well, you woke up because finally now you see. But God had to go through. That's why sometimes the choices in our life, Judah Bismarck hit it right on the head this morning. Sometimes the decisions we made in our life, because we were wired wrong, it took us down. And we wasted 15 years of our life or 10 years of our life because of a choice that we made based upon an unrenewed decision. And because of it, we had to live with it. Man, Romans 8:28 is not a get out of jail card free. It's not, well, you know, it doesn't matter. I do stupid things. God's going to work it out for my good. Yeah, eventually He's going to work it out for your good. But I'm going to tell you, you and your family is going to walk through some consequences because of it. Well, I don't think that's fair. Well, you know what? I can tell you what's fair. It's not the kingdom. The fair is that thing you go to down at the state, you know. Big wheel. Where you get elephant ears and stuff. Right? Big turkey legs. Amen. People, but never mind. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, we lose the pick, and I guess I'm staying here because the Holy Spirit is pinpointing this in our life. Why is it, Pastor? Well, the reason why is because we have allowed ourselves through misinformation, through incorrect doctrine, through men and women who did not have our best interests at heart. So now that you know, don't live in it. Once you know the truth, once you do it, man, then rejoice and say, hey, baby, I'm out of here. I'm doing this. I'm changing this. How many hears what I'm saying to you? It's not, you know, if you're driving and you're lost, I mean, come on. If everybody that you stop along the way and say, hey, you got to turn back, you're going the wrong way. Well, I don't think I am. I really think that I'm really going to. How many ever seen the movie Dumber and Dumber? Huh? Yeah, then maybe you need to check it out, man. It's got a lot of revelation in it. I mean, come on. And I mean, that's us on a little motorbike, you know, a little, what are they called? What is it? A mini bike. Two guys, you know, going down the highway, going the wrong way. There has to be a turnaround. And the reason is this. That's why that we have to, and understanding that Jesus is our high priest who's been touched by every point of our infirmity. He understands. But you first have got to go to Him. You've got to take that thing. You've got to lay it before God. You've got to realize, here it is, God. Here's that toxicity that's in my life. Here's that toxic thought. Here's that toxic relationship that's created all this junk of my life. I've got to go back to Him. I've got to lay it before Him. And then God's got to take and turn that thing around. How? It's not going to happen because somebody's going to say, abracadabra, it's all God. No, man, there's no magic dust. There's no, I'm sorry. This is not, Peter Pan's not found in this book, I promise you. There's no magic dust. There's no magic formulas. There's only supernatural. And when it's impossible, when you finally realize I can't control this, when you finally realize I'm not in charge, when you finally realize, as we all realize, that we're not God, when we finally realize that this mess is too big for me, I can't handle it, I can't do it, that's the time that God can come in and God can move into our life and He can take and do something with it. Why? Because we say, God, I can't do anything with it. I can't do anything with it. And we finally take it and we lay it before the throne of grace. And when we do, God is able to do something with it. See, here's the benefit of the new covenant. Because in the old covenant, man, we could bring the sacrifice, but it still wouldn't purge your conscience. The benefits and the blessing of the new covenant is so much more. Amen? Go on, let's jump over here into Hebrews. How many believes I can teach three chapters in 11 minutes? Be of little faith. Yeah. Debbie Dale said that. I'm putting that on tape. Come on, Brenda. Look with me here. This here, he is that high priest. And how many knows that the order that we have, you know, it's a different order. And we're not bringing in physical animal sacrifices or meal offerings, we're bringing in spiritual sacrifices. Right. Folks, let me ask you something. If we are priests unto God, and Peter tells us that we're royal and we're holy priests unto God, and in this new order, let me ask you something. Is that how can we get God to move on our behalf if we bring Him nothing? How can God move on behalf of your life? whether it's for healing or finances, whether it's for crises, whether it is for needs in your life, how can we expect God to move? It's not just the fact that the need is there. You say, well, Pastor, doesn't it say that He already knows what we have need of? But He wants you to bring it to Him. See? He wants you to bring that to Him. That's why that Paul said to the Philippian church, he said, through all of this that you're doing, I'm paraphrasing, through all that you're going through, all the anxiety that you're going through, he said, let it all be by prayer and supplication. These are the spiritual things that we bring to God. How many want God to hear you when you pray? Raise your hands if you want God to hear you. Then I'm going to give you a key tonight. You're not going to get God to hear you unless you come with a thankful heart. You're not going to get God to hear you unless you learn how to worship Him, how to praise Him. You first have got to come in. Here the psalmist tells us the very first key. He said, I will come into His presence with, in my heart, and into His courts with praise. Before the door is thanksgiving. But once I get in there, I am praising Him. I'm pouring out my praise on Him. It's not I'm going to wait until God says it's done. No, I'm already thanking Him and praising Him for what He has already done. I'm first going to come in because I'm thankful, God. I'm thankful that, Father, You brought me this far. I know, God, that I have made mistakes and error. But, God, I'm thanking You already in advance that You are the God that's going to take this mess and You're going to redeem it. I don't know how You're going to do it. I don't know how You're going to move in my child's life. I don't know how You're going to move in my finances. I don't know how You're going to get it done physically in my body. But Lord, in advance, I want to begin to thank You. I want to begin to thank You and watch the door come open. Watch the door come open and then walk in praising Him, thanking You, Father. Thanking You because You are a God that answers prayer. Do you hear me? And then the third thing is worship. Worshiping Him. Magnifying Him in who He is. Those are the keys. If you want God to hear you, God reinforced to me today as I was sitting before Him today. He said, my people struggle. They struggle with the reality of who I am. They struggle with the intimacy and the personal aspect of serving me. Folks, I want you to know something. God gave you an imagination. God gave you a brain. God gave you that brain. Science didn't give you that brain. God did. And God gave you that brain. And in that brain, how many knows that's something that has to react correctly to every situation in your life? When you have trauma, your brain sends things to you because it's getting ready for the trauma. Your body may be going through trauma, but your brain is going through trauma at the same time. And when your body experiences joy, your brain experiences joy. And let me share with you in the spiritual context, when you reverse that and you allow yourself to go into praise and thanksgiving and worship, your brain already prepares your body for where it's going. Because your body has to obey whatever your brain is directing it to do. And when you renew your mind with praise and thanksgiving and worship, when you renew your mind with the Word of God, when you renew your mind, you are preparing your mind. You're rewiring your mind to be able to understand God and walk with God and know God like you've never known Him before. But it's not going to happen without those elements. Because our sacrifices are not natural. Amen? See, we can come to church, but what good is it to come to church if we don't worship and we don't praise? I was thinking, one of the greatest things, the two greatest things that we can teach those young people that we're standing, that are here every week. If you're a teacher, and this is something that I'll be sitting down with Matt and with Shane, if we are not teaching these kids how to pray, how to worship, look, they don't need to be stuck like us. Amen? I mean, somebody almost sometimes has to take our arms and stretch them up. Our hands are hanging down so heavy because of the load that we're carrying all the time. And I'm telling you, if you want to move beyond it, you've got to learn to worship. I know I sound redundant. I've been preaching this for 4 years. But man, I would think by now you'd think I really believe this stuff. But I believe this stuff. Because without His holy presence, without His presence, man, we can't move any further. You can't move past your circumstance. And your worship has nothing to do with your worthiness. He's already made you worthy. Why? Because I'll tell you why. Look with me here, because this is the second thing. I established the first thing, but here's what I want you to see in Hebrews. I thank God. I thank God. Amen. Look here in Hebrews chapter 9. He said, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So what's he saying here? He is saying, look, listen to me. The tabernacle of Moses was made with, look at me, jazz hands, okay? Look, see, it was made with hands. And it was made to order, specific, down to the very last detail, the very threads in the, are you guys making fun of me? You and Regina? Behave yourself, both of you. Okay. Down to the very thread used in the veils. I see everything. Everything. Down to the very threads in the veils. Do you hear me? Every detail. Let me ask you something. Has that tabernacle been done away with? Are we worshiping in that tabernacle? No. So where is the tabernacle of God? Where is it? It's right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says what? Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Where Jesus said, Jesus said Himself, He said, if you invite Me, if you invite the Holy Spirit in, and you invite Me, the Holy Spirit and the Father are going to come and they're going to abide. You are the temple of God. There's a temple in Jerusalem. But I can tell you right now, that's not where God is dwelling. As much as people want it to be, that's not where God is dwelling. He's dwelling in you. He's living in you. You are the temple of God. You are the tabernacle of God. And if you are the tabernacle of God, then God has a point, a destiny for your life. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? Said, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once. How many times did He enter? Into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. How many times did He enter? And our redemption is what? It's what? Our redemption is eternal. How many believe, look, I'm going to ask the question tonight. How many believe your redemption is eternal? How many believes that? How many believes, man, this is eternal redemption. This is not part-time redemption. This is not temporary redemption. Amen? This is the real deal, Holyfield, right here. You've been given redemption, and it's eternal. Amen? He entered once. He said, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkled the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, look now, here's a real revelation for some of you tonight. He said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without what? Spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Because our works cannot serve God. How we serve God is spiritually. They that worship God, John chapter 4, they that worship God must worship Him in and in truth. You worship God in spirit. Why? Because God is a spirit. And to try to worship Him outside of that is just going to frustrate you. Because what you're looking for that you might have the most difficulty with, and that is intimacy with God. And I'm saying to you, your road into intimacy, your road into intimacy, into a personal relationship is through your worship and your prayer life. But before you can get into prayer, you're going to have to learn how to praise. You're going to have to learn how to worship. And it's the hardest thing, because the thing of it is that our flesh does not want to worship. We want to do something that reaffirms I'm doing something, that I'm physically doing something. But you will. Man, if you need a hug, if you want to be embraced, then embrace yourself as you're praising God, as you're thanking God, and realize that God loves you and He cares for you. If you need that, because why? You are the temple of God. He lives in you. You've got to get a revelation here of what's going on. He lives in you, and He's there to speak, to embrace, to comfort, to love, to speak to you, to direct you. He's there to lead you into all truth in your life. Amen? Amen. And look at verse 15. And for this cause, He is the what? Mediator. He's the go-between. Amen? Well, why is He the go-between, Pastor? Well, because we had nothing to bargain with. We had nothing to bargain with. We were broke, like Job's turkey. Amen? We were so broke. I'm not even going to get started. Look, and for this cause, He is the mediator, the go-between. We had nothing to bargain with. We were without hope. We were without any kind of bargaining tools. We had no advantage. We had no ability. But what Jesus did is this. Not because I deserved it. Not even because I was right. Not even because I was righteous. He did it because He loved me. He loved this world that He gave His only Son. And Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Look, Jesus wasn't sweating great drops of blood in the garden except for one thing. He knew the weight of the sin of the world was going to come on Him. Not because He wasn't going to obey God. He knew that when He was a boy. He knew His destiny there. Even as a boy, as He sat in that temple and He ministered and amazed those brilliant men in the temple, He knew who He was. In the garden, He knew what was awaiting Him was what? The great anguish that was coming out of Him was already the blood that He was going to shed there physically on the cross of Calvary. It was the weight of the world, the weight of your sin and my sin and all of our sins that was upon Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He knew He was going to have to bear that. And I'm asking you tonight, if Jesus went through that and He bore your sins and He bore my sins, why are we still trying to carry our own sins? When Jesus has already paid the full price one time only. And guess what? There's no expiration date. Amen? How many hears it tonight? Jesus stands. Look what it says. The mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of what? Eternal inheritance. This is what we have. We have this great gift. So two things we need to understand. We have a new covenant, but we have a mediator. That means that when you have an issue, you can go to God, and God is already mediating in heaven for you. Whatever it is, God will make it right, but you have to go to Him. Amen? He's the high priest that has been touched with every point of your infirmity, with every need of your life. He knows you. He's not estranged from you. He's not divorced from you. He's not mad at you. I hear all this wrath teaching, man. I have to tell you, it upsets me in that context. It upsets me in the sense that the wrath of God was satisfied, He tells us, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we aren't going to have to pay out some consequences, But it's not God pouring His wrath down upon us, guys. Come on. Then all that Jesus did was to no avail, man. If men are to come to God, it's not going to be because of His wrath. It's going to be because of His goodness. Men never repent, truly repent, because of wrath. They repent because of the goodness of God. Any other doctrines you teach, I'm sorry. You may bring people in by fear, but that means you have to continue to use fear to sustain them. Are you hearing me? That is a doctrine that is past. We have not come to Mount Sinai. We have come to Mount Zion. We do not stand at the bottom of the Mount of Death, that if we touch it, we're going to die. We can come to Mount Zion where there's rejoicing, where angels are dancing, where all the saints of God who've gone on before us are the great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on and saying, it doesn't matter what happens in this world. You are His redeemed. You are His remnant. And God has His divine hand on your life. And no matter what's going to come to the earth, guess what? We are the mountain of God, and we will rise above it all in this earth. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? That no matter what happens, whether it's economically or whether it's by anything else, honey, or whether the Chinese decide to swim across the great ocean to get to us to invade America, whatever you think it is, or the mediators being poured down upon us out of the sky, I want you to know, whatever it is, which I don't believe it, but whatever it is, God is for you. And you are preserved in Him by the Holy Spirit. We need to walk out and we need to proclaim to the world that our answer and our God is bigger than any antichrist, any beast, any great whore of Babylon. Our God is greater. He is bigger. He's more powerful than any entity that wants to raise its ugly head in this last day. No matter what is going to happen in the last days, we still got to be the church. We don't stop being the church. We don't stand back and say, well, you may, just like I told you Sunday, well, you made your bed. Right? Lay with dogs, you get fleas. God didn't call us to wave our big fat fingers to the world and say, now you deserve it, now you're going to get it. God's going to dust your pants good this time. The world is going to follow the consequences that they've set in motion. But the church will be redeemed. Do you hear me? Come on, say it. The church is going to be redeemed. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap tonight if you've got some words. Amen?